So maybe a first question would be, give us a state of just your tribes. Madison has just been designated in December, Truax Field, as the home of F35A. Doctor, can you start? Give us an overview.
The Wisconsin Highway Patrol has been a Wisconsin institution since 1939, and it has a new superintendent, and that superintendent is Anthony Burrell. And we are interviewing at the Hill Farm State Office building, Superintendent Burrell. Thank you, sir, for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
Congratulations on the opportunity to lead the patrol.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to the opportunity. I know it's a big challenge, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity afforded to me.
Before we talk about the challenges, and there are many, talk about yourself. Are you a native of Wisconsin? When did you decide you wanted to be a law officer? Take us back.
Okay. Good. I appreciate you asking me that. I'm not. I'm a native of Mississippi, actually. Born in Sandy Hook, Mississippi, a small town, unincorporated town just north of New Orleans, about 90 miles, south of Jackson, about 85 miles. My parents moved us here during the Jim Crow South. We moved here in the early 70s, after parents couldn't find suitable work down in the South there, and so we moved here to Wisconsin, and particularly in Milwaukee, and that's where I was raised, in Milwaukee. Went to school in Milwaukee Public Schools, graduated from Milwaukee Tech High School, so I'd like to give a shout out to MPS. Proud father of two, married to my high school sweetheart for 30 years, going on 31 years.
Congratulations.
And I've always had a desire as far as law enforcement at a young age, I wanted to be in law enforcement. And there was an opportunity. I went to a Juneteenth celebration in Milwaukee one summer, and there was a booth there, and State Patrol had a booth, and there was some recruiters there from the State Patrol that were recruiting for opportunities with the State Patrol, and I signed up and attended one of their open houses that was in Milwaukee, or actually in the Waukesha area. Went there. There were two troopers there. There were two African-American troopers who had been on for a number of years. One of them was a sergeant at the time, and the other was a trooper. They explained the opportunity, their career, and how things have gone so well for them there, and it encouraged me and inspired me well enough that this is what I looked at. I wanted to be a city officer or a county deputy sheriff, but this opportunity intrigued me a little bit more. I'd never heard about troopers. I've seen them obviously, but I didn't know exactly what all they did, and so this opportunity came about, and here I am. The rest is history. After 26 weeks of training at the State Patrol Academy, 12 weeks of field training, and I'm here now.
At what age did you and your family come north to Milwaukee, sir?
I was 5 years old when we came from the South and moved to Milwaukee, and so that would have been the early 70s.
Any memories of that Jim Crow era that stick
for
with
me,
you?
For me, very little. For me, no. But I've heard the stories. My parents shared the many stories themselves of the segregation that took place in the South, obviously their involvement or the cross burnings that have occurred down there. So there were many, many stories that were shared with me and our family growing up as kids. And but oddly enough, as kids, we spent our summers down there. Summer vacations were spent there. So when school was out, family would pack up and head us south, and that's where we spent our summer vacation. So fond memories of growing up, both in the Milwaukee area and as well in the South. And I've got a lot of memories of family and friends that are living down there still, and I still get a chance and opportunity to get back there as often as I can.
And you started on the road when?
I started on the road officially in, I graduated in November of 90. Actually started on the road in, I think it was February of 1991 in St. Croix County.
St. Croix County. Mm-hmm. Remember your impressions of your first year as a trooper, sir?
I do. It was that.
Are they good ones?
they are, actually, Steve. There were a lot of days where you just wonder, is this for me? If this is going to be the right opportunity for me, did I make the right career choice and decision? I had a good training officer and a lot of folks of support. My wife was a good support system for me, and family were a support system for me, and I stuck it out. And I think, through it all, I think I made a good career choice.
Talk about the differences between when you started
and the duties of an officer now, sir?
How
has that evolved?
Well, I'll tell you this. The cars we drove back then were rear-wheel drive vehicles. The lighting systems in the cars were all halogen bulbs. And now we're driving all-wheel drive vehicles. We're driving with cars with LED lights. Back then, we used to write tickets. When you wrote tickets, they were all handwritten. Now everything's electronic. So you're actually doing everything from the computer, and you're printing your tickets right from the car. So, I mean, technology has done some tremendous things for us over the years, and it's made the job a little bit more easier, if you will, in that fashion. But it has created some challenges as well, because, you know, technology isn't always guaranteed because of, you know, the issues that may occur with the advent of technology.
Okay. The mission of the patrol. Summarize it for me, please.
The mission of the patrol, if I summarize it, it is the enhancement of public safety, saving lives. What we do on a day-to-day basis in terms of traffic enforcement, education, is to make sure that the motoring public out there is what we would like to say compliance, gaining voluntary compliance of the traffic laws that are out there, so that we don't have to enforce through citation. It makes it easier to educate. We want to try and challenge the motoring public to change some driving behaviors that create some of the challenges that and situations that occur out there on the roads, which ultimately cause lives. And we'd like to, at least in law enforcement, we'd like to be able to change that behavior of drivers. Not all drivers, obviously, but those few that create the challenges that cause the issues that we have out there.
Is the average driver in Wisconsin, both those that are licensed here and those from out of state, are they worse drivers in 2019 than they were when you started on the road, sir?
I'd probably say they're about the same.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's gotten a little more challenging nowadays because of technology, as I mentioned before, the advent of cell phones. We did not have cell phones back in the early 90s, at least to the degree that we have them now. The smartphones that have the ability for folks to text and all the other advents that come with that, the social media and the Facebook and the Twitter and, you know, those things that are there. And everybody's wanting to have that instant gratification of being able to look at their phone, which right. distracts, takes their eyes off the road, creates distractions, and creates hazards for us.
Is that the greatest hazard, the people who insist on talking and texting and otherwise, or are there other hazards that would outrank our cell phone?
There
abuse?
Are other hazards that outrank them.
Excuse me.
I won't say outrank them, that are probably just as equal. Cell phones is greatly the one that's most out there in the public sphere that we know about, because just about everyone has a cell phone these days, and everyone tries to use their cell phone while driving. Then you got eating. You know, folks are eating and driving. You got folks putting on makeup. You've got the drinking and driving. You've got the folks that are operating impaired, whether it be alcohol or whether it be prescription or over-the-counter medication or illegal drugs. So there are various number of distractions that are creating these challenges out there. And to say that cell phones is just one of them, it's probably one of them near the top, but it's certainly not the end-all and be-all.
How often does a stop by a trooper now involve illegal drugs, sir? Because that was rarely the case. Is it fair to say rarely the case when you started on the road? And now how often would you say 1 out of 3, 1 out of 2?
I would have to say it's probably in the area of 1 out of 3.
One out of three.
Yeah, 1 out of 3 stops, maybe 1 out of 4 stops on a day-to-day basis. We're encountering drugs. We're encountering illegal drugs. We're taking those things off the streets, marijuana is being one of them. You know that you've got some neighboring states that have the ability to for recreational and or medicinal use of marijuana,
right?
Well, it's still illegal here in Wisconsin. So just because you can, you know, procure it and have it, possess it in those states, Wisconsin is just one of those states that you cannot possess it in.
The stops that involve drugs, would the suspicion that someone is impaired because of drugs be the primary reason for the stop, or would someone else, would you stop for speeding or some other problem, sir?
Most oftentimes, it's either an enforcement detail or an enforcement infraction, particularly equipment or speeding, that initiates the first stop for most of our officers out there. And then it's their awareness on the job, of their training, what the signs to look for when they get up to the vehicle and then they're talking to the driver and then or the occupants in the vehicle, things to look for within the vehicle. So I think it's a combination of training and officer awareness as to what they've got when they make that traffic stop.
When you went through the academy, you didn't receive the intensive training in drugs that your officers go through now, did you, sir?
No, we didn't have that program available as it is today. We did go through some similar type training, but it's not as because, you know, there's a lot of things that have evolved. You've got opioids now. You've got fentanyl. So there are a lot of things that
And meth.
We've got the meth. And you know, cocaine and marijuana were probably the biggest two that we were dealing with in my early days. But now we've got a plethora of things out there. And not to mention, as I mentioned before, you've got over-the-counter medications and you've got some of the other illegal drugs that are out there.
The debate over legalizing recreational marijuana, can you take a position on that, sir?
Well, I can't take a position on it. I'll say that I'll leave that to the legislators. That's a state legislative agenda that they will have to address. As I mentioned before, currently the law in Wisconsin is it is illegal, and we will enforce the law currently as it is on the books.
Okay. So the responsibility of the patrol, is it primarily state highways?
State and federal.
And so when can you, do you have to be called in to work a specific murder or homicide or arson? Does the local law enforcement agency have to seek the help of the patrol?
The state will assist most county and I'll say all the county and our other state law enforcement agencies, our DOJ and DCI, on those matters. We don't primarily investigate murders unless it's traffic related, but primarily we will be called to scenes, traffic reconstruction and crash reconstruction, TRU unit basically will come out to a murder scene or a homicide scene at the request of another agency to assist them.
Is it an urban myth that if I would never do this, of course, but if I'm going down the interstate at less than 10 over, my odds of getting pulled over are reduced? Is that an urban legend?
Less than
legend?
10 over? Yeah. You're not going to get pulled over at 10 under.
10 over.
Oh, 10 over.
Well, yes.
I can't say that either, that you would get pulled over. You know, officers have discretion. Certainly, the goal is to change the behavior of drivers. Speeding is one of the biggest challenges that we do have out there. I think it ranks number two in terms of the number of citations that we do issue in the
What's
state.
Number one?
Operating after suspension or while suspended. So the combination of the two is typically where we're at. And those are preliminary numbers from January through, I think, June of 2018.
Where in terms of incident of stopping does driving while intoxicated rank? Is it in the top five?
I would have to say it's in the top five.
Are we seeing fewer drunken drivers on state highways than we were when you started your career?
We're seeing impaired drivers, and that's a plethora of alcohol and drugs, which is a combination of illegal and or prescription medications.
Yes, sir.
So we're seeing those out there. The challenge is obviously, you know, the repeat offenders obviously is one, but the first-time offenders also is a big challenge. And our officers are trained to detect those violators when they see them operating vehicles, so they know what to look for, what the indicators are once they do have them stop, and to take them to appropriate enforcement action.
I was reading a story out of Colorado, which, as you know, legalizes recreational marijuana, that some law enforcement agencies have trouble discerning when someone is impaired by marijuana because there's no absolute test. Is there no absolute test for detecting when someone is impaired by marijuana, sir?
I won't say that there's no absolute test. I do know that we've got some drug recognition experts that are trained with the patrol, and we've got a number of officers in the state of Wisconsin that are also DREs, and they are trained to detect when there's that potential for someone who may be operating while under the influence of that type of substance or cocaine or any other illegal substance.
It's always intriguing.
It's a special training, however.
Yes, sir. It always intrigues me that the number of troopers is set in the statute at 399,
been that way for...
Since the 60s.
Since the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Wisconsin's population have grown, and your troopers have to deal with so many more complicated enforcement issues. Do we need... Does that statutory limit need to be raised, sir?
I think you would ask any law enforcement agency across this country about the challenges of, you know, personnel. And what we've learned is that we make the most of what we have with what we have in terms of efficiency, effective use of our resources. Would it be nice to have more bodies? Certainly, I would not disagree with that. I would not turn it down. But we've learned that through effective use of our resources, and operating efficiently and as possible really helps us in what we do in our mission.
When from covering the debate over state budgets from the 1990s, I know that when there are ideas to raise the number of authorized troopers, in the 1990s that was resisted often by sheriff's departments. Is that tension still there, sir?
No, I think that there has been some great, vast improvements in the relationships with the sheriff's departments across the state and the Bannister Sheriff's Association, when the Wisconsin State Patrol. I think we understand that there is a need for us all to work together for the common good of the citizens and the taxpayers of this state. And so through that, we build partnerships and we build relationships. We tear down those walls, and we want to work together with one another. And because there's plenty of work to go around for everyone, as we've learned, as we know, going in law enforcement.
Well, you've talked about the number of times your troopers encounter illegal drugs. Are we making major progress, do you think, in the abuse of drugs with opioids and methamphetamines and...
I don't know if we're making a major impact, but we're making an impact, and that's what matters. We can't give up on that mission of enhancing public safety simply because we may not see the numbers jump to where we may feel that they may or may not be. But as we continue to work towards that goal of enhancing lives and saving lives and changing behaviors out there, we'll see results in the end.
Talk to us about other different functions of the patrol. Also inspect school buses and trucks.
Yes.
So how were your officers divided in terms of those responsibilities in addition to traffic enforcement?
In addition to our state patrol troopers, we have our state patrol inspectors. Now, the inspectors go through the exact same training at the academy that the troopers do. However, they get some additional training so that they have the tools and abilities to go out there and do the enforcement of our trucks, our school buses, motor coach buses, anything related to commercial motor vehicles. And they have that additional resource with our state weigh facilities, our scales. We've got 13 of them around the state. And that gives them the opportunity to do those enforcements that they need.
Are the trucks that we see on state highways generally safer or more dangerous than when you started on the road, sir?
I would like to think that they're somewhat safer. I think the trucking industry, has done a tremendous job in making certain that the equipment that's on these vehicles are up to snuff, if you will. Does that mean that there aren't some that are out there that don't need to be on the road? That's where our focus is at. We look for those vehicles that we find that are either repeat offenders for the violations that we've enforced before, or they're just not educated on what the laws are and specifics to weights and what they need to have on their markings for their vehicle. So it's a combination of that.
If one of the options in terms of highway funding long range is tolling, if Wisconsin went to tolling, would that make any difference on the duties of your officers, sir?
No, again, it's certainly something that we would have to look at. Certainly if the legislature and the governor's office is looking to do something like that, it would certainly look at the DOT and the Department of Transportation, which we're under. I think the DOT secretary and the deputy secretary, along with our administrative staff here with the State Patrol, have to look at those type of things and see how that may impact us.
How does the public view law enforcement, such as your troopers, vis-a-vis when you started in 1990 versus now? Has there been a major shift? Has there been a loss of respect, Superintendent?
Yeah, there has. You know, one of our main goals, obviously, during throughout the time that we're out there enforcing the laws, is to help knock down that stereotype about law enforcement. We want to enhance our community relations with the community at large. The department itself is in a recruiting campaign, mm-hmm. and we're looking for qualified candidates with a background, diverse background as much as possible across the state, and we're looking to take the agency forward in terms of diversity. Currently, right now, you figure there's 91% of the state patrol is made up of men, 8% are women. 92 and 8, if you will. And then of that, 89% are white males. So we've got some work to do, but we're up to the task. We certainly believe that the quality of the men and women that we have here are great. We have some good men and women that are dedicated and committed to doing the job of the mission of the State Patrol. And we just want to make sure that we give that opportunity to those that don't know about us. And so we want to share that opportunity with as much diversity as we possibly can.
If you were speaking to a criminal justice class at Madison Area Technical College, what's your elevator speech for why they should consider joining the patrol, sir?
I'll tell them this. When I joined the patrol back in 1990, I was shared with a story that you come into this job and you get out of it what you put into it. And if you are willing to work hard and put in the work and the dedication to going out there and committing yourself to traffic safety and public safety and commitment to community service, then this job is for you.
And what if someone says, Superintendent, what are the downsides?
There are downsides. Law enforcement has its downsides. In a vacuum or in whole, there are some challenges in terms of safety. You know, law enforcement, as I mentioned before, we've got the challenge of communities not liking law enforcement for various reasons. Also, there's the risks of dangers that come with this job as well. There are a number of factors that come into there. You know, this agency has lost over this agency's inception 7 officers, line of duty death. So. Mm-hmm. This job is not without risks, and we know that going in. But your training will hopefully take you through and get you through to do the job as a professional and conduct yourself professionally as well.
And if that follow-up question was, what about the impact on my family and the hours that I work? Are those hardships often?
I wouldn't say they're hardships, but there is some sacrifice oftentimes. You know, Wisconsin being the state that it is with winter as it does, it has an impact. It can have an impact on you because there are going to be some long hours depending upon the area of the state that you're in and how impacted that area is because of weather, whether it be from the snow, mm-hmm. cold wind and ice, or rain and flooding, because we've had those issues going on in this state. And we're oftentimes called to assist other agencies with other disasters. So we're not immune to just those significant events. We've got other events that the State Patrol is a mutual aid agency. We will respond to anywhere in the state that you need us.
There's going to be a bill introduced in the Capitol dealing with body cameras. Your position on those, sir?
The jury's still out on body cameras for me, personally. I know that they are a viable tool. We do have video cameras in all of our squads right now. Taking it up to that next level of putting them on the body. There's studies that are out there for pro and con. I reviewed some of those studies, and depending upon what you look at for in a video camera system or a body camera system, is it really giving you everything that you're going to want in terms of view and sound? There's also the risk of the camera being knocked off of you, you know. So there are some factors that we would have to look at as well as an agency if we're looking to go into body cameras.
Congratulations on being president of the National Black Troopers Coalition. Are there a lot more black officers than there were when you started on the road?
Well, there's considerably a number of them in the South, believe it or not. And thank you, by the way. There are... there are 22 states in my organization, in the organization that I'm president of, and a number of them are southern states. And I'll say that the states along in the South have a significant number of African Americans, men and women, that are working for their departments.
But in Wisconsin, 92% of your troopers are male, and of that, 89 are white. Ways to go in Wisconsin in terms of African-American troopers?
Ways to go. I think, again, it goes to marketing, how we market ourselves as an agency, to the communities at large, and specifically into those minority communities, the Hispanic community, African-American community, Asian community, the Hmong community, all of them, we see as an opportunity for us to grow our diversification within an agency. And if we hone in those marketing skills on those areas, I think we'll do a great job.
Do you feel like you're a pioneer being the first African-American superintendent?
Well, I'm humbled by the opportunity. I think it's a great chance for me to show what I can do in terms of leadership skills and abilities. I think that if you say trailblazer or anything like pioneer, that moniker I'd like to give to one man, and that's Phil Clark. He was the first African-American state trooper in Wisconsin back in 1962, and he came on at a time when it was challenging for African-Americans to get into law enforcement, specifically at the state level. And he was able to open that door, and many of us that have been able to walk through that door after him is where I'd like to leave that moniker, pioneer and trailblazer.
The debate over law enforcement and how there's more criticism, body cameras, et cetera. Here's my question. Are you concerned that fewer young people will want to enter a career in law enforcement, whether it's a city police department, sheriff's department, or your own organization, sir?
Yeah, there are certainly some challenges with generations, the Gen Zs, the Gen Xs, getting them to even consider it. You know, I look at law enforcement as a noble profession. I look at it as akin to serving in a military, where you're actually serving your community right here in your home state. You're able to do some things in your own community, and there are some challenges there, and that's where we have to do a better job in law enforcement of attracting good quality candidates, and our goal is to do that. We're going to continue to market ourselves, improve our marketing skills and marketing abilities through social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever the means needs are out there available to us. We're gonna do that to attract the quality of candidates that we have here.
We're almost out of time, so just two more questions. What are your goals? 2 years for the patrol, 4 years for the patrol?
2 years. Well, I think right now is the focus on our recruitment. We're certainly looking to fill some ranks right now. We're short on numbers, and simple fact is that we do need those bodies out there. And we can't do it alone. So that'll be short term is one of the goals and the missions. Long term, I would think that we need to start thinking about autonomous vehicles. Autonomous vehicles are out there. They're on their way. And we as an agency, we need to start in law enforcement. We need to start looking at those things, because as that transition happens, there's still going to be those old cars out there with the new cars out there. So there's still going to be crashes. How do we deal with those type of vehicles, and how do we deal with that? So I think that's something long term that we need to start looking at as well.
Are you convinced that a autonomous vehicle could be operated safely on state highways, Superintendent?
I'm not convinced of it just yet. I do know that that technology is there. They're constantly working on it every day and improving it. I just want to say that we as an agency and law enforcement in general, as a whole, needs to start looking at that, because that is going to happen. I mean, technology is what it is. It's about change, and we can't go into that thinking that it's not going to happen here, because it will.
Final question then. You'll be giving the at the next Patrol Academy graduation ceremony. You commission them.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to tell them in terms of looking ahead as they begin their service on the road, Superintendent?
Well, one of the things I'd like to remind them of the reason why they came here, and one of the reasons I hope is that they came here because they have a commitment and a dedication to serve, and that's what law enforcement is about. It's about giving back to the community from which you came. So that's going to be first and foremost. Be willing to give back to the communities that you serve in. Secondly, I just want them to come out here and be professional with what they do. Every day they have their opportunity to be ambassadors of not only this agency, but ambassadors of law enforcement. And what better way to recruit than to treat someone that you've come in contact with the utmost respect and dignity? And I think that's a selling tool to who we are as an agency, because our men and women are dedicated and give their utmost to the community in which they live in.
State Patrol Superintendent Anthony Burrell. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.